subject, actually. And what we're talking about this morning, I don't want to be misunderstood, and I don't want it to go in a certain direction. In this place, in this building right here, right now, statistically, there are going to be some of us today who have suffered from, you know, deep depression and anxiety and feelings of unworth, which doctors have needed to help us to get help with those things, treatment and chemical imbalances in our minds and all those sort of things. And that's very much something which is at the forefront of much of what goes on in our society and in our world. And there would be many of you here today that would suffer from those sort of things, and you need medical help just as you need medical help for any other type of ailment. So when we talk about what we're going to talk about today, I want to make it really clear that if you're in that sort of position, I don't want there to be this sense that God solves all your problems straight away and instantly you're full of joy and full of life. And if you're not, then there's something wrong with your faith and something wrong with your spirituality. I don't want anyone to feel that way this morning. There are people here today that you have deep, dark battles that none of us know about, maybe some of us know about. And those are things which you need help for and you should get help for. I don't want anyone to feel at all like they're a failure spiritually based around what we say. Because there can be a sense when we deal with things like what we're dealing with today that if you're not joyful all the time, if you're not happy all the time, then there's something wrong with your faith. There can be a sense in some places and in some churches you get the feeling that, wow, unless I'm triumphant and everything is overcome and everything must be victorious, then there's something wrong with my faith and something wrong with my spirituality. I mean, that's certainly not true. You only have to look at the story and the life of Jesus to know that there were times and seasons in his life where he was deeply distressed, deeply uncertain, and really under a real cloud, even in his mind and in his heart. So if there are things that you were going through in that sense, you need to know that I believe that, yeah, you should be having help for that. You should be getting medicine for that. You should be getting medical help for those sort of things. So I just want that as a disclaimer before we even start, because we're looking at the theme of who you say I am, and we're looking at this theme for the next few weeks, and particularly based around that song, that new song that we sung this morning, I Am a Child of God. I want to talk this morning about identity, and I want to talk about who you see yourself as and how you see God as seeing you as well this morning. Father, thank you so much. We can come together in your house. We can open your word. We can celebrate and worship together. Thank you so much for the people that have chosen to be here this morning. May we together this morning hear from your Holy Spirit. May we be transformed. May there be some real things that unlock some keys for us. I really believe there's some truth here this morning which is going to be really helpful for us all. And I pray, Lord, that there'll be no distractions from you, Lord Jesus, and no distractions from what your Holy Spirit would choose to say, to impart, to transform us with today. So speak, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last year, for the second time, I went and visited Chicago, and when you go to Chicago from Perth, you fly to Sydney, and at Sydney you have to go through customs, and you have to go through this. The second time I went to Chicago was quite different to the first in how I was treated at the airport. The first time, and I think it has got to do with Donald Trump, the first time he had just been elected, and we just breezed straight through. The second time, he'd been in office for 12 months, and I blame him. We get to the thing. My friend Aaron, I've talked about him before. He pastors a church in Bentley. Him and I were traveling together. We get to the lady at the, and I thought she was a Qantas employee. It turns out she wasn't. She worked for the Australian government. I'm the sort of person, and if you know me, you know this about me. I feel I can make friends with anyone. I feel like I can talk to someone and I can win them over and we can be the best of friends. I am optimistic about my people skills and my relationship skills. Sometimes it gets me in trouble, but it's actually the truth. I feel I can be friends with you all. This lady was not on the same wavelength as me. quite different, in fact. We get there to the gate and she says, okay, so what are you, because we were there together, what are you to do? And we said, well, we're pastors. What does that mean? Are we pastor a church? Then she asked me this question, right, which was, if I was at a pastor's conference or with other pastors, I would fully expect this question. I did not expect, it took me back. I did not expect this question from a customs officer flying to Chicago. She said to me, how many people come to your church? And it was at that point that my people skills started to win me over, and I said, oh, she's being friendly. She's asking how many people come to my church. I said, oh, yeah, this meant being. I'm with my friends, so we both lie and exaggerate, of course. I said to her, do you go to church? She said, no, I don't go to church. Oh, okay, I find that a slightly unusual question. And it was there that things started to get really serious. And she started to ask us all different questions about what our church was like, what sort of church it was, what we teach in our church, what the conference was that we're going to in America, and what sort of things are going to be happening there. And it was actually, it went from being what I thought was a happy conversation to quite a serious conversation. We found out later, and this is the truth. I thought this was some internet conspiracy, but actually it was true. They had checked out my social media profiles. My Twitter, my Facebook account. Now, they're not going to find much, a bit of smoked meat and a few silly jokes. But they had checked us out as pastors, people in churches going to America. And it freaked me out a bit. But it also called into question for me and for Aaron, who are we? Who do I say that I am? How am I perceived? I wonder if you have ever had, you know, your identity and who you are as a person. I wonder if you've ever had that called into question. Because here's the thing about two things. Here's the thing about your identity. You are not able as a person to fully reflect back to yourself about what you are like. You don't actually know exactly how you are perceived or exactly who you are. There's a reason why, a very important reason why God has put us in community, in church, in groups, with friends, with family. Because there is the relationship with God, but there's also the relationship with others. I wonder if you've ever had the courage to ask someone that you trust, someone that loves you, someone that knows you, what am I actually like? Who actually am I? What do you see that I don't see? And then the other question that goes along with that is, how does God see you? What does God think of you? I want to make a quite bold, I was studying this during the week, and I want to make quite a bold assertion this morning. I think most of your personal issues, most of what troubles you and brings anxiety to you, all relates to what you think about yourself, what you think about yourself, and what you think about what God thinks about you. Let me say that again. I want to make the assertion that most of your personal issues, the things that you really struggle with, revolve around questions of your identity. What you think about yourself, think about that, and what you think about what God thinks about you. Think about the issues you have. Think about the struggles you have. Think about the conflict that is in your life. Think about the worries you have, the fears you have, the anxiety you have. I want to say that most of that revolves around questions of who you think you are and what you think God thinks of you. For those of you who are on social media and Facebook and all those sort of things, you often what will pop up is pictures from past years. So you'll see a photo. Maybe some of you got an old photo album and you might look back, maybe for some of you, you might look back 10, 20, 30, 40 years to what you look like when you were married or when you what you look like when you were a child. And sometimes when you look at those photos, I don't know about you, but I often look at those photos and I can remember what I was thinking about myself back then. You ever done that? That's what I was thinking back then. And for some of us, we look back at old photos and we wish we looked that way. For some of us, we look back and we say, oh, I'm glad I don't look like that anymore. For some of us, it goes well beyond the physical. And we look back to what happened to us when we were a child. Maybe we're looking at a photo or what happened to us when we were a teenager. And we are so glad that we are no longer in that emotional, spiritual state as to what we were back then. For some of us, we look back at those photos and there's a tinge of regret that we no longer have that same passion or that same vibrancy, that same spiritual life perhaps that we had back then. I want to say this morning, I feel there are probably three different categories of people here this morning. For some of you here this morning, I'm glad you're all here because I'm a friendly guy and I like people and I think I can win you over. But I think there are three types of people in this church. There are those of you hear this morning that actually don't quite know what they think about God. You're actually here and you're exploring. We're so glad you're here. But you actually don't know what you think about God. And that really calls into question, if you're in that position where you don't really know what you think about God, then you haven't really applied into your own life what God thinks about you. Someone that wouldn't call themselves a Christian, in fact, would say they were far from God, or maybe they don't even know about God, or maybe they don't know what God, if God is even real, how can they apply to themselves the principles around what God thinks of them? Well, they can't, because they don't really think there's a relationship there, or if there is, they don't know what that relationship is. Then there are those of us here this morning, perhaps with a tinge of regret, we may say, you know what, I've slipped away from this passionate relationship with God that I once had. Maybe I've just got casual. Maybe I've just lost that fervency and that closeness and that hearing from God, God's voice has got quiet. Maybe I've slipped into a whole heap of lifestyle choices which aren't healthy and aren't good and they've just caused me to just get away from God. For you, that's almost a practical atheism. It's almost a practical state of, well, God is actually not that real in my life. So you're really almost living as though what God thinks of you is not that important. Other things are more important. And there are others of us perhaps here this morning that would say, I love God and I know God and he's in my life and I'm passionate about him. And perhaps that's too simplistic. Perhaps there's a whole spectrum of people here this morning that might fit somewhere along those lines and with some sort of semblance of some of those key points you might hook into. This morning is going to be helpful for you no matter where you're at with your relationship with God. Because God has some things which he wants to say to you about you, which if you apply and which you know in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, they're actually transformational things. What God thinks of you and therefore what you can think about yourself can actually transform your whole life. We're going to be looking at the next few weeks, this topic. But we've got some scriptures this morning. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. And following, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. So in the ancient world, when it came to mirrors, can we just leave that scripture up, Ben? Thanks. When it came to mirrors in the ancient world, this is a bit awkward, isn't it? I mean, you haven't looked at yourself. Sorry about that. But this is a mirror, a modern mirror, if you like, or an old-fashioned mirror. But certainly it's on glass and the reflection, although it's a bit dusty. That's awkward. It's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. You look into this image when you get yourself ready in the morning, and it's pretty clear, isn't it? In the ancient world, with the world that... Is that really distracting? No, you live with it. In the ancient world, focus on me. In the ancient world, you would have these mirrors which were polished steel, polished brass. And you would look in, mostly women that used them, and they were ornate. But you would look into that mirror, that ancient world mirror, and the reflection back would, you could sort of see. You could sort of see what you'd look like. But you couldn't see that great. So when Paul writes, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, that's why he says that, because their mirrors weren't developed to the point, perhaps, of today with our mirrors. Or maybe when we put our phone on mirror and we look at it and we can look. Or the funny thing about mirrors, right, men, stay with me. The funny thing about mirrors is that although we might look in the mirror when we get up in the morning and when we get dressed, what do we do, ladies, straight after we look in the mirror? How do I look? You ask someone. You just looked in the mirror. You know how you look. You actually don't, do you? You then go and you ask the question to someone else. How do I look? Why is that important to you? You can't, physically, you cannot even tell how you look. Not even if you look in a mirror, a good mirror, you still want to ask the question to that person you love, how do I look? What are we concerned about that for? Why is that even a problem for us? Because how we're perceived by others is actually really important. And that is just the physical. It's just the physical. Have a young child in a playground going to school for the first time. Am I going to make friends? Am I going to be accepted? When people see me, will I be acceptable to them? You come into a new environment, or maybe a new work environment, a new social environment. Will I make friends? Am I okay? Am I okay? Am I good enough? Will people like me? Will they be my friend? Questions around identity. There's a movie out, and I don't know the title of it, and I don't know much about it. It's got some girl, Amy someone or other, and someone helped me out, Amy Schumacher. Thank you. And she's in this, all I've seen is the bio of the movie, right? Just a description of the movie. In the movie, something happens to her and suddenly she thinks she is pretty. Suddenly, for some reason, something switches and changes in her heart and her mind, and suddenly she thinks, I'm a beautiful girl. And her whole life changes. The whole perception of her changes. And this is a really silly movie, but there's a truth in that. Your perception of yourself, how you feel about yourself, is going to change a whole raft of things about you. All I know now is partial and complete, but then I want to know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. There is one person in the universe that knows you completely. God knows you completely. The ridiculous thing about us sometimes is we try to hide from God who we actually are. But the incredible thing about God is he knows the hairs on your head. He knows you're coming and going. He knows your thoughts, your innermost thoughts. He knows your insecurities. He knows who you are. God knows you completely. Better than anyone else. Better than you know yourself. You are known by God. The next scripture. The old way, with laws etched in stone, led to death. Though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. 2 Corinthians 3. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared to the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way which has been replaced was glorious, how much more glorious is the new which remains forever? Let's just think about that scripture for a minute. This is the story of Moses going up the mountain, going into the very presence of God. Some of you are freaking out about that mirror. Going into the very glory of God. And you know the story. He comes down from the mountain and his face is shining. And the people look at Moses' face and they're embarrassed because the glory, he's been sitting in the presence of God, and the glory of God is such a pervasive, strong thing that he comes down the mountain and he literally has to put a veil over his face because it's so awkward for people that he has been in the presence of God. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, is here saying, how much better actually do you have it because of this new covenant and this new way? Here's the incredible thing about the good news about the gospel of Jesus. Here's the incredible thing. God knows you completely. He knows you better than anyone else knows you. He knows your motivation. He knows your heart. He knows your secret thoughts. He knows everything about you. You are completely known by God. Yet, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? Because of what Jesus has done, you are made right with God. We sit in the presence of God. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if you know Jesus, the Spirit of God is actually inside of you. Moses went up had to go up the mountain, and he was only one of thousands that would get to sit in the presence of God. And his face shone with the glory of God. You actually are known completely by God. He knows all your faults, all your problems, and yet you are completely set free. He wants to live inside of you. The passage goes on. Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But in the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil and they do not understand. So the people that he's talking about here are Jewish people who haven't actually grasped yet the incredible story and the good news about Jesus, that this old way is now gone. They don't understand what God thinks about them. They haven't yet understood. For them, they are still stuck in this way that unless I'm good, God isn't going to love me. Unless I do all the things that I need to do and should do, God isn't going to see me as his child. Unless I can live up to this standard, and some of us live with impossible standards. Some of you live with an impossible standard for yourself. It's been put there by different words that other people have said, and you live in that. And you haven't yet understood the incredible love that God has for you and this incredible gift of forgiveness. The fact that you are fully known by God and yet he still wants to be a part of your life. These people were still stuck in that old covenant. We're not stuck. You are not stuck in that old covenant. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, for the Lord is Spirit. And whenever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. So we look into the mirror. We look into the mirror and we reflect the glory of the Lord. You reflect the glory of the Lord. There is no condemnation for those that are found in Christ Jesus. Yet sometimes you've lived this tortured life where you just haven't been able to understand how much it is that he loves you and how much it is that when he sees you, what does he see? You're a child of the King. You're forgiven, not forsaken. I am a child of God. I love that song. I love that declaration. When God sees you, what does he see? He sees one of his children that are loved. When God sees you, what does he think of you? He sees someone that he created. Psalm 139, I'm wonderfully made. He sees someone that he doesn't see you naively. He knows everything there is to know about you. And yet he still declares that you are a child of God. He doesn't see you foolishly. He doesn't see you and not know all the stuff there is to know about you. But he still has the boldness, the temerity to say about you, you are my child. I love this passage in James. And this passage is often taken, and fair enough too, often taken to talk about obedience. But obedience can take many forms. And in this passage, I want us to apply the obedience to how it is that you actually feel and think about yourself and what you actually, your perception is that of how God thinks about you. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do. Can we say you must think also what it says? You must do in your heart, mind, and soul. You must apply this in your own mind. You must understand what it is that God's word says about you in your mind, your heart, your soul, your spirit, your being, everything about you. When you look into the mirror of God's word, you must apply what that truth is to your life. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Oh, come on. How often have you looked into God's word, seen what it says about you, and then gone away feeling terrible, awful, and had a terrible day or whatever it is? How often have you looked into the mirror of God's word, seen yourself reflected back, seen how God feels about you reflected back, and walked away and forgotten what it is that God says about you? But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, come on, sets you free. For where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. And do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. When we open the scriptures, when we look at them, and when we understand how it is that God perceives of us and therefore how we should perceive of ourselves, it sets you free from those issues, from that fear, from that anxiety, from that lack of self-worth, from those feelings of I'm terrible, awful, I can never achieve anything. How do we do that? Well, just to finish this morning, just three applications. Firstly, understand and know in your heart, mind, and soul how it is that God thinks of you. You are a child of God. You are forgiven, not forsaken. God loves you. When he sees you, he sees someone with incredible potential, someone that he has designed to be able to achieve incredible things on earth in the power of the Holy Spirit for his kingdom's sake. And like Moses and others, we try to make excuses for ourselves. Don't make excuses. When God sees you, he sees someone that of great value. Understand and know that. Secondly, guard your heart and your mind. Understand, guard your heart and your mind. There are so many voices and so many thoughts and so many words that our society and our culture want to come and bring into you and tell you who you are and tell you what God thinks about you. Guard your heart and your mind from those things. Don't allow those things to come in. Thirdly, finally, and most importantly, because you generally only hear me for 25 minutes in a week, preach to yourself. Seriously, preach to yourself. Have some scriptures which are like scriptures which you can open up and maybe have remembered in your mind, which you can preach to yourself. I can preach to myself when I'm feeling like I can't do this, when I'm feeling like I'm undervalued, when I feel like I've messed up and nothing come back. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He will forgive all our sins. I love that. Preach to myself. I am chosen, not forsaken. I can do this. God is with me. Understand the truth about God. Guard your heart and mind from those voices that will seek to tear you down. And then preach to yourself. Preach to yourself. Father, thank you so much that you have called us and chosen us. When I think about the people that are here in this building, I know that your love for them is intense and deep. And Lord, this morning we are so very grateful for what you've done. We're grateful for how you have called us to be your children. We're grateful, Lord God, that we do not have to live in fear or condemnation. We don't have to live lives where we don't, where we're just overcome by our own problems and our own issues. I really want to pray this morning for those, and maybe that's you today, who you really struggle with who you are and you really struggle with how other people see you and you struggle with how God sees you. May you know this morning of the deep, bold, reckless love that God has for you, that he pursues you, that you are the one out of the 99, that he has a place for you, and his desire is that one day you will be with him forever. Because we are his children. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.